So the reading this morning is a well-known passage from Ephesians 6 about the armour of God. We'll read Ephesians 6 verses 10 to 20. Verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should.
The day is just too busy. I'm just a little bit too tired. The kids are up too early. I can't get a routine going. These are just some of the reasons that we admit to not spending time with God. And in many ways, they're legitimate reasons. It's hard to juggle everything in life and to make quiet times work. But what if this is not all that's going on? Sure, on the surface, it's busyness, it's tiredness, it's weakness, it's the constant demands. But beneath it all is what we talked about last week, our sinful nature and the attacks of the devil. Take work. Work is good. It's from God. He made it. But it is the devil who wants you to be a workaholic. Take family. Family is good. It's from God. He made it. But it is the devil who wants you to idolize it and play victim to it. What about rest? Rest is also good. God instituted it. But it is the devil who wants you to indulge in it and to prioritize personal relaxation over reading, praying, and worshiping. Even routine is good. You can bet that's from God too. But again, it's the devil who pushes you to one of the extremes, either throwing your routine into disarray so you cannot function, or making you rigid, religious, and legalistic. I mentioned last week that we are in danger far more often than we think, hence the need to pray. Our path is full of pitfalls. The external circumstances that trip us up and the internal selfishness that causes us to wander and stray. It is a dangerous journey. And that's why Paul writes what he writes in Ephesians chapter 6, because it is more than a journey. It is a battle. There is a war going on all the time. A war for your mind. A war for your heart. A war for your soul. Forgetting to read the Bible or pray, skipping church or small group, these might be small things. In one way, insignificant. Certainly they don't cost you salvation. We should not make too much of them. But at the same time, they are well-known strategies and assaults that the enemy uses in the battle around us. Tom Wright, in his commentary, he makes this excellent point. He says, "The topic of spiritual warfare is itself the subject of spiritual warfare." Meaning the devil does not want us to think about it, to dwell on it. He'd much rather that we just dismiss it, that we disregard it, that we ignore it as much as possible. Particularly because we can't see it. It's not obvious. He'd rather that you dismiss it right now, at this point, in our time together. Bah, my lack of quiet time, it's got nothing to do with attacks and with demons. Just like he wants you to dismiss everything that we preach. Hoping that you will keep the challenges presented and your actual life as separated as possible. He would certainly love it if a series like this one did not have a single bit of impact on your spiritual life. Now don't get me wrong, God has already won this war. The death and the resurrection of Jesus is a sure victory. But the campaigns and the attacks, they continue in our present. Souls are still being won or lost. The battle continues. And so we need to stand, Paul says, and to stand strong. This is very much his point in Ephesians 6. Stand. Four times in this passage he says that word, stand. Take your stand. Stand your ground. Stand and stand firm. Be aware. Be ready. Be prepared. Be on guard. And stand. So we're going to consider together, stand in what? Stand against what? And stand with what? Firstly, stand in God's power. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. More literally, we'd probably say, be strengthened in the Lord. Be strengthened by him. In the same way, really, the title of this sermon shouldn't be equipped, but be equipped. It's a receiving more so than it is a doing thing. Because it all comes from God. He is the source. It is his strength. It is his armor that we're called to put on. We don't stand in our own power, but in God's power. We don't look within for some sort of inner strength. We look to God. Now, I'm not going to spend too long on this first point, but I do want to emphasize it in light of our quiet times and the other things in Christianity that we often treat as religion. We mentioned last week that it's about relationship, not religion. Relationship with God. And today I really want to encourage you, to help you recognize that it is about being strengthened in and through that relationship. That the relationship is key. We're not saying be strong and read your Bible, or be strong and pray. Like that's how you be strong. We're saying the Bible and prayer are what help you to be strong, what cause you to be strong. They are the channel that God uses to strengthen you. He is the source. So go to the source. There's a reason that mornings are best for this intentional time, because it equips us. It strengthens us for the day ahead. You've rested, you've slept, and now you've got to get back into it. You know, the day carries with it the pressures of life as well as the war of the devil. So be equipped and be strengthened by God's power. It may be an act of receiving, but it's still an act nonetheless. So stand in God's power. Against what? Well, against the powers of darkness. Against the rulers, Paul says, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That is, in the spiritual realms, the realms that we consider unseen, at least to our physical eyes. We aren't just battling disease or despair or demands. We're not just battling with busy schedules, or with other trying people, or with a broken world. We are battling forces of evil. Or at least God is. and we are called to stand against those forces. The point is, there is good and there is evil in the world. Recent pop culture would tell you that it's a lie, that in fact it's all relative. Monsters can be fluffy and funny creatures. Serial killers or vigilantes, they can be justified or misunderstood. Even vampires can be kind and fall in love. For myself, I'll take the original Dracula-type stories over those new ones any day. At least it's clear then that vampires are the evil, undead spawn of the devil himself. We've been checking out a sitcom on Netflix recently called The Good Place. Very interesting. But it's a satirical take on the afterlife and on morality. And there, like in so much pulp culture, it seeks to make light of things like hell and torture and demons. To make light of it in such a way that people just dismiss it or don't worry about it or it's not real, it's just something to laugh at. And the devil loves it when people ignore it. But evil exists. You only have to watch the news to see that that's true. You only have to see the way that people's hearts can be so deeply corrupted. Satan is real. Demons are at work. There are dark forces in this world. And until the serpent is thrown into the lake of fire, as it's promised in Revelation, then we need to stand strong in the face of evil. John Stott points out three characteristics of these forces. It says first that they are powerful. We can't deny that. They are powerful. Paul says that they're the rulers of the world. Think of it this way. They have a global dominion. They have exactly what every wicked empire has ever wanted, whether you're talking about the great prostitute Babylon or whether you're talking about Nazi Germany. They have this worldwide rule for thousands of years. Now, they don't compare to God. He is the ultimate ruler, but they do have power. Secondly, they are wicked. Power itself is neutral, but dark powers are not. They are the opposite of God, who is light and life. They seek death and destruction. They seek to pull people away from Jesus Christ. To pull people from their true identity, to corrupt the created order. They love rebellion. They love chaos. And thirdly, they are cunning. As Paul says, the devil is a schemer. He's tricksy. He tempts and seduces and deceives. He appeals to our sinful nature, to our selfishness. He makes wrong seem right and bad seem good. And he does it all while trying to tell us it's not him at all. There's no devil. It's just you, and it's, you know, it's all good. It's just natural. It's fine. Don't worry about it. In fact, the devil doesn't even exist. So don't worry if your Bible never leaves the shelf or you've forgotten how to pray. Just don't worry about it. Don't worry that you're neglecting your spouse or speaking more and more harshly to your kids. Don't worry. Don't worry about the things that the preacher says up front. That might be for some, but it's not for you. And remember, you're entitled to your own happiness. You're entitled to a bit of pleasure, some treats, some indulgence. You're entitled to your standard of living. Don't let people make you feel guilty about that. It belongs to you. You've earned it. You deserve it. It's a load of crap, isn't it? Can't we see how important it is to stand in God's power against such attacks? Can't we see how deceptive and damaging these assaults are? Can't we see how much we need protection? So Paul says, stand with God's armor equipped. Put on the full armor of God, he says a couple of times. I want you to just think back to the reasons I mentioned right at the beginning of this sermon and imagine this scenario. You're in the office one day. If you don't work in an office, just pretend you do. You're in the office and one of your colleagues is at his desk in nothing but his jocks. And you ask him, well, what's going on, man? Why are you not dressed? And he says, the day is just too busy for that. I was too tired to get dressed this morning. The kids were up too early. Just couldn't happen. I just can't get into a good routine of getting dressed. It doesn't fly, does it? Not at all. Of all the routines we have in the morning, putting on clothes is probably the most essential. You know, some of us can get away with skipping a shower, and a lot of people seem to skip breakfast, but you cannot skip getting dressed. And it's usually a really intentional, purposeful thing. We check the weather, we check our diary, we think about who we're going to meet and whether we're going to work and what activities we're getting into, and then we dress accordingly. Shouldn't it be the same with our spiritual equipping? And Paul is telling us that on top of your appointments and on top of whatever the weather holds, there is a 100% chance of battle. No matter what. Attacks will be launched, bullets will fly, so dress accordingly. Put on armor. Protective armor. God's armor. Put on truth, the belt of truth. Or more literally, it says, gird your loins with the truth. It's actually more of an underwear than an outerwear, but it is essential in holding the armor together. And the truth is also essential to us because it helps us avoid the lies and to stand against them. It is our anchor. It is our firm foundation. It is our girdle. Without it, we lose conviction. We lose confidence. We lose stance. So put on the truth of God himself. Objective, solid truth. Found in the Word, found in the Gospel, and put it on every day. Secondly, put on righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness. That means, on the one hand, put on Jesus. Clothe yourself with Christ. His righteousness is what makes us righteous. His perfection is what protects our hearts. His purity is what keeps us away from the darkness. But then on the other hand, his righteousness moves us towards obedience and morality of our own. Our own righteous acts, they're not neglected in this item of armor. We ought to wear good deeds as much as possible. Then thirdly, put on the footwear of gospel readiness. Wear the good news on your feet. I mean, let it determine your steps and make you ready to move wherever God may call you. There's two sides to this item as well, I think. Let these so-called boots lead you on a path that's determined by the gospel, by Jesus himself. Do all that you do. Go everywhere you go with him in mind. But then also be ready to witness him wherever you are, to share the hope of the gospel wherever you go, wherever your path takes you. Fourthly, pick up faith, the shield of faith. Again, it's your God-given faith. It comes from him. And it helps you stand against the devil's arrows of doubt and self-reliance. Because this faith is trust. Trusting in God. In the battle, on the journey, in life, trust in the Lord with all your heart. When doubts arise, as they most definitely do, trust in your Father. The God who is greater than you, the God who is greater than all others, the God who is greater than the devil himself. Tony's been reminding us in the evening services that believing is seeing, not the other way around. Believing is seeing, and faith comes first in this battle. Fifthly, put on salvation, the helmet of salvation. That is, put on assurance and confidence and conviction that salvation comes to us in Jesus Christ. That it remains on our heads and it protects us no matter what. When the devil uses guilt like an axe, remember it is not your weakness that determines your end. It is God's strength and Christ's victory that determines your end. Your everlasting end. The war is already won. Jesus is victor. He has crushed the serpent's head and he will cast him into the lake of fire. And lastly, pick up the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God. Because not only does truth gird our loins and the gospel determine our steps, but the Word becomes our only offensive weapon against the enemy. And so, as I've said before, train with it. Familiarize with it. Seek to learn it inside out. Because it is our trusty sword. Don't drop it or ditch it or disregard it. Use it. Swing it. Just as Jesus did when he was tempted in the desert. Make God's word your counterattack. And so I want to say, even though it jumps a bit of a gap, a regular quiet time does these things. Reinforces the truth. Reminds us of Jesus' righteousness. Readies us for ministry. Strengthens us, our faith against doubt. Convicts us of salvation. And familiarizes us with our weapon. Reading the Word equips us with all of this stuff. But it's not just the reading, of course not. It's the meditation, it's the prayer, even the preaching of the Word. It is incredibly beneficial in our spiritual war. And Paul doesn't neglect prayer. In fact, he turns to it quite deliberately in verse 18. He doesn't say it's another item of armor, but he adds it to the list as an overarching practice to complement the full armor of God. Something that even soldiers do is pray. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. As we said, stand, be alert and pray. Pray in the Spirit. Pray all kinds of things. Pray for God's people. Pray for one another in the battle. If you were to picture yourself in an ancient battle line, scary as it is, but there you stand fitted with your armor, your weapon in hand, and you can see across the way the enemy line, and it is all too real. It's happening. Your heart is racing, your mind is whirring. But if you truly believe in God, what do you do in that situation? You pray. You pray hard for protection, for victory, for courage, but also for your fellow soldiers, for those who lead the charge, for the army as a whole. And so can be the urgency with which we pray and trust and are equipped in our spiritual war. It is a battle. It is a war. It is a fight. And it is to be committed to God. Handed over to God. Completely. And let's not forget that it's won. Really, that's the most important thing to remember. The battle is won. And not only that, we ourselves cannot die. Imagine going into battle and you know you cannot die. Victory is promised. Life is promised eternal life. Nothing or no one can take that away. No enemy whatsoever. And that is what we stand on. That is God, our rock, our refuge, our stronghold, and fortress and shield. Well, I'm going to close with this chorus from a song by 80s Christian singer Chuck Gerrard. If you don't know who he is, look him up when you get home. But if ever there was a guy who proclaimed the reality of spiritual warfare, and not only that, but the victory of Jesus Christ, this is the guy. He sings these words, "We are the soldiers of the Lion. We're the army of the light. The unstoppable battalion that drives away the night. And the Lion is our standard, and we know we cannot die. Because the mighty name of Jesus is our sovereign battle cry." Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, you are the Lion of Judah, the victor, the conqueror, the one who has triumphed over all evil. We thank you for your death on the cross, your resurrection to life, that death has been defeated, that sin is forgiven, and that the enemy has been cast down. We thank you, Lord, for your victory, and that we can live in its light, in its reality. Lord, we want to acknowledge together that we still deal with the battle, with sin, with circumstances, with the devil himself. And Father, we want to ask that you will strengthen us, that you will equip us, that we will find in your word and in prayer all that we need to stand and to stand strong. We ask, Lord, that we see the devil's attacks for what they are, that we see sin for what it is, that when we're tempted to make excuses or to make light of our selfishness, Lord, that we see it clear and we look to you to triumph. Father, we pray, give us this strength. Give us clarity. Give us the urgency to pray and to stand true and to fight. Lord, through your word, teach us. Through prayer, help us to trust. And Lord, grow us in all of it, to be stronger and stronger in you. In Jesus' name, amen.